The following program is a production of Holy Spirit Radio.
Welcome to NFP for Life with your hosts, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger. Dr. Ruppersberger is a board-certified GYN with an NFP-only practice in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. He and his wife are both certified natural family planning instructors for the Family Life Office of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And now here are your hosts for NFP for Life, Dr. Les and Betty Ruppersberger.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters in Christ, and welcome to our program, NFP for Life. I'm Dr. Les Ruppersberger, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Betty. And we celebrate Valentine's Day post-weekend, and we're glad to be back with you today, and we're going to have a special program today where we're going to discuss family values and marriage and the importance of marriage in life. And so we would like to start our program, as we always do, with an opening prayer. If Betty can see the print that we printed out from the internet article.
And welcome, everyone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you've given us the model of life in the Holy Family of Nazareth. Help us, O loving Father, to make our family another Nazareth, where love, peace, and joy reign. May it be deeply contemplative, intensely Eucharistic, revived with joy. Help us to stay together in joy and sorrow in family prayer. Teach us to see Jesus in the members of our families, especially in their distressing disguise. May the Eucharistic heart of Jesus make our hearts humble like his, and help us to carry out our family duties in a holy way. May we love one another as God loves us, as God loves each one of us more and more each day, and forgive each other's faults as you forgive our sins. Help us, O loving Father, to take whatever you can give and give whatever you take with a big smile. Immaculate Heart of Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Holy guardian angels, be always with us. Guide and protect us. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
One of the reasons that Betty and I, and actually it was more Betty than I, that chose this particular topic for our program this weekend, and I suppose people always wonder, what does this have to do with natural family planning?
Right.
But our topics always revolve around issues related to Christ's institution of marriage, of love between man and woman, husband and wife, and certainly the only way that a family can come into existence in this world is through the love in a man and a woman manifested through the sacrament of matrimony and resulting in the supreme gift of marriage through children. And that basically defines the essential family. We now are being attacked on all sides with trying to redefine the nature of the family, to redefine marriage, and to redefine a lot of other basic fundamental concepts in our lives. And so we felt that it was extremely important for us to address this issue because it's at the heart of where natural family planning comes in. Because the middle word of natural family planning is family.
Right.
So it is part of the topic of our program.
And also, it's a teaching of our church, or of our Catholic faith. But it's what holds our and strengthens our marriage to our marriages too, natural family planning. But it's all incorporated. We'd love to hear from you today. Please give us a call. If you have any questions or comments, at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. And let us hear from you if you have any comments or questions about our topic today, which is marriage and the family.
And I will start out by saying, as I very frequently do, that quite often, now that we've been on the program for some 7 years, that occasionally we have issues with coming up with topics for discussion, and yet somehow or another through prayer and through putting our trust and faith in the Holy Spirit, the topic comes to us. So what we have this week is a culmination of information that just not too coincidentally happened to be in the Catholic Standard and Times this week. Because it was Valentine's Day, they promoted their spring wedding guide, which happens to be titled Living in Love, and we'll be discussing some topics and some issues from that. But more importantly, we have a conference that's coming up on March the 1st, which is only a week and a half away. It's actually 2 weeks from, tomorrow. And it is the conference that's sponsored by the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network and the Philadelphia Catholic Medical Association. And it's being held at St. Mary Medical Center. And it starts with registration at 8 a.m. and goes to 3:30 p.m. in the afternoon. It's being held in the Annex Conference Center adjacent to the hospital. And Betty and I are going to go over some of the topics that we felt this year's program was particularly relevant to addressing. And the title of the conference is called Marriage Prep in the Modern World, the Current Status of Marriage Prep Programs. And not just for people that are out there that are involved in marriage prep programs or what they used to call pre-Cana programs, but I was corrected in my language several months ago. And although there's nothing wrong with pre-Cana, it's just a little bit more holistic and a little bit more modern to talk about marriage prep. But we're going to have our opening prayer with Monsignor Shoemaker, and then I'm going to give some opening remarks. And then Dominic Lombardi is going to join us. Dominic is the director of the Family Life Office in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and he's going to talk about what is going on in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia as far as current marriage prep programs.
And we're also going to have Steve Boza, who is also the director of family life for the Camden Diocese. And then one of our big speakers is Matt Pinto from Ascension Press, who's written many books. And his topic is going to be God's plan for a joy-filled marriage.
And that's one particular type of marriage prep program, and we'll be evaluating multiple types of programs in this conference. And that particular program was written by Christopher West and is entirely based on theology of the body. In the afternoon, we will have a witness couple who will discuss the importance of natural family planning in marriage prep. And as Betty and I have traveled around over the years to various marriage prep programs at different parishes, different levels of emphasis are placed on natural family planning based on the comfort level. And quite frequently, there are not enough people out there that are comfortable with church teaching on natural family planning or don't know enough about it, that the marriage prep teams in some of the parishes don't have anyone that can even speak to it. And they import people to come in and discuss it. And one of the biggest innovations by the Family Life Office this year in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, actually in 2007 is what I mean by this year, is the Speakers Bureau, where if a parish or a marriage prep team does not have someone who is comfortable speaking about natural family planning, that all they need to do is call the Family Life Office at the Archdiocese, and they will provide a speaker who will come out and speak. So that will be done by Lisa Ann and Michael Castagno.
And I think it's real important that people that are marriage prep presenters attend this conference, because they're going to learn so much more and feel more confident in their presentations, because they're going to get educated in a lot of ways to just increase their knowledge for their presentations. And we're going to be blessed with having two separate speakers, Tom and Kelly Imperato, and they're going to be speaking about their type of marriage prep, which is called Three to Get Married. And they're going to be a witness couple for the Three to Get Married program. And we're also going to have a priest perspective on the Three to Get Married program. And we're going to have Father Jason Wallace. And then we're going to have a panel of all our speakers. And let's all put our heads together and decide, where are we going with this information? And how are we going to strengthen these marriages and help them get started off on the right foot and to have a stronger understanding of the true meaning and love of Christ through marriage? And this is going to be a phenomenal conference. And again, it's going to be March 1st at St. Mary Medical Center. And the cost is only $15 a person, $25 a couple. You'll be getting breakfast and lunch. And if you'd like to register, you can go to the website, www.pnfpn.org. Again, pnfpn.org. And that stands for the Philadelphia Natural Family Planning Network. And it's going to be, this conference is sponsored also by the Catholic Medical Association, the PNFPN, and St. Mary Medical Center, March 1st. And it's going to start at 8 o'clock in the morning, and it should be over by about 3:30. We'd love for you to come. Consider it. Come sit in. Listen, even if you don't want to participate in any of the talks, but at least be there and get some information. We're going to have exhibits, and again, we're going to have lots of food, breakfast and lunch. And it's all going to be sponsored by all the accommodations and food is all sponsored by St. Mary Medical Center, who have been tremendously gracious throughout these past
six
conferences to donate their location and the food. And we praise God and thank St. Mary Medical Center for their generous offer to do all this. So again, if you have pre-Cana in your parish, please go to this website, www.pnfpn.org. You can obtain a flyer for your parish. You can notify your priests. You can notify your pre-Cana couples, your couples getting ready for marriage, anybody in your parish that's interested to attend this conference. So,
and even if we only get one couple from each parish, from each marriage prep team.
Yeah, we'd love to see couples from teams.
You know, there's 260 parishes in Philadelphia. If we had 100, less than half of the parishes send one couple, we'd have 100 couples. We'd have over 200 people. The auditorium holds like 220, 225. That would be like the largest attendance that we've ever had in 6 years. And I think that there needs to be a coordination of effort and a lot of questions. Some of the things we'll talk about today, not directly because we don't want to steal any of the thunder from the conference, but, you know, how do you discuss cohabitation to a room full of cohabiting couples? How do you bring up the topic of contraception to a group of contracepting couples? How do you address some sensitive issues relative to mixed marriages and mixed religions and things like that that are sensitive, touchy subjects in this day and age? And, you know, you want to be Christian, you want to be kind, you want to be loving, but you do not want to deviate from the teaching of the church. You want to remain faithful and true to the teaching of the church. So we have to address these issues. We have to find what program is the best method, and there's no one perfect program. We're going to be evaluating at least three during that day, and we hopefully will get a lot of input from the audience. And then with the our next month's program, we will be summarizing and trying to, you know, talk about this a little bit more. So if you have the opportunity to come, please do so. If not, invite someone else, especially if you are involved in marriage prep. I would put a challenge out to all you priests, all you deacons, and anyone, all you pastors out there, anybody in religious ed that's involved with our marriage prep teens, any couples, especially the parishes in Bucks County. St. Mary's is so close, it's not limited to that. But in our cluster, St. Andrew's, Holy Trinity, St. Michael the Archangel, well, St. Michael's not in our cluster, but Holy Trinity and St. John the Evangelist are all cluster.
St.
Michael the Archangel,
Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
St. Francis of Cabrini, Immaculate Conception. You know, all those parishes are within 15 minutes, 20 minutes of St. Mary Medical Center. Be very, very, very easy for a couple to come up for the day, spend some time, gather the information, get the resources available, and then take it back to your parish and share it with your marriage prep team.
And I think the most important thing, the most important topic for this conference is the sanctity of marriage, and that marriage is a sacrament, and how wonderful marriage is and how enriching it can be if we look at it as a sacred sacrament and realize that, you know, this is a sacrament that two people that come together celebrate the sacrament. And in our society today, how difficult it is because of the divorce rate and things like that, that we don't want people entering into such a serious stage of their life without realizing how important it is and how special and how sacred it is. And it will enrich their lives in order to for them to realize the importance of saying I do.
And that brings us to the meat of what we want to discuss today, and that is basically why marriage matters. Now, because we're a Catholic radio program and we're coming to you from Catholic radio, you may think that we'll use a lot of faith-based reasons, and we certainly can address those reasons, but we'd first like to present to you seven scientific reasons that have very little to do with faith, although they certainly are not in conflict with faith, as to why marriage matters. Most Christians know from the Bible that marriage is part of God's original order. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate." And that comes from Genesis 2:18. Jesus also affirmed that lasting, loving marriage is basic to God's plan for us. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. And what therefore God has joined, let no man put asunder. Mark chapter 10. But did you know that a large body of social science research now affirms the importance of marriage for children, adults, and communities? Marriage matters because when fathers are committed to their children and their children's mother, children are most likely to thrive and women are spared the unfair burdens of parenting alone.
Now, marriage reduces the risk of poverty for children and communities. The majority of children whose parents don't get or stay married experience at least a year of poverty. And number two, fatherless households increase crime. Boys whose parents divorce or never marry, for example, are 2 to 3 times more likely to end up in jail as adults. And marriage protects children's physical and mental health. Children whose parents get and stay married are healthier and also much less likely to suffer mental illnesses, including depression and teen suicide. Number four, both men and women who marry live longer, happier, and healthier lives. On virtually every measure of health and well-being, married people are better off than otherwise similar singles on the average. And number five, just living together is not the same as marriage. Married couples who cohabit first are 30 to 50% more likely to divorce. People who just live together do not get the same boost of health, welfare, and happiness, on average, as spouses. Neither do their children. Children whose parents cohabit are at an increased risk for domestic violence and child abuse and neglect. Children born to parents who are just living together are also three times more likely to experience their parents' breakup by the age five. And number six, parents who don't get or stay married but put children's education at risk. Children whose parents divorced or never married have a lower grade point averages and are more likely to be held back a grade and to drop out of school. They're also less likely to end up college graduates. And number seven, when marriages fail, ties between parents and children typically weaken too. Adult children whose parents divorced are only half as likely to have warm, close ties to both their mother and their fathers. For example, in one large national survey, 65% of adult children of divorce reported they were not close to their fathers, compared to 29% of adults from intact marriages. So if you have a comment about why marriage matters, you have a question, you know somebody in pre-Cana, you want to give us a call, 215-345-1570. We'd love to hear from you. Again, 215-345-1570.
And these statistics come from Brad Wilcox, who wrote Why Marriage Matters, 26 Conclusions from Social Sciences. And this is published through the New York Institute for American Values. And you can go to that website at www.americanvalues.org. And Betty and I had the opportunity to hear Brad Wilcox lecture live last year out at the International Cultural Institute when he was part of a program where I presented and we were discussing marriage and family values and strengths of marriages and so forth. So these are just reasons why we look at even non-faith-based issues of society, politics, and economics to be able to evaluate and analyze what's going on. And with, you know, this is a presidential election year. And I'm sure that everyone out there, at least if like myself, may be somewhat confused as to know exactly how they're going to vote, especially Catholics, Christians, and especially people who are trying to form their conscience and take a look at family values and the political situation and try to understand, you know, which representative, which person can I vote for that will best represent my values, Catholic values, family values, and will support that in the passage of new laws and in the defense of old laws in our United States. And it becomes extremely important. It's most relevant. So we feel that not only is this program important from the standpoint of our conference and from the standpoint of, you know, Valentine's Day and people that are in love, and it's February, and from the standpoint of a sacrament of matrimony, of which there are only seven sacraments, and from the standpoint of families, but it's also extremely important in relationship to our country, in relationship to our economy, in relationship to our society and our culture. And Pope John Paul II said in his Theology of the Body, in one of his opening remarks, that as goes the family, so goes society. The family is the building block, the very basic foundation of our society. Society does not exist for the family. Society exists as a result of the family, and the family exists for society. The family also exists for community out of love and to allow us. It's not good for man to be alone. And we are born, we are created, and we come into this world through love and through family, and we need to grow up in intact families. And all we see all around us is the fragmentation and the disintegration of family and family values. So I'd like to just point out to you some of the family values that are involved in in evaluating what's going on with the stability of the family and the attacks on the family, and some of the family values that we also see in our politics that need to be addressed by us individually to see which of these candidates out there, and this is not going to be a political referendum for any candidate, but to see which of the candidates out there actually support values that support the family. For example, support for marriage and opposition to adultery. We need people not only within the families, but within our culture, in our society. It's not if it feels good, do it. It's not whatever you want to do, you have the freedom to do. Yes, you have free will, but it's not an autonomous free will where you can violate basic fundamental tenets of natural law and God's law. There is a commandment that says thou shalt not commit adultery. If you're engaging in sexual activity outside of a covenantal marriage, you are committing adultery. So we need people and candidates politically that will support marriage and the opposition and oppose adultery. Now, one of the things that I need to point out to you and that I would like to make you aware of is that right now the Pennsylvania is in the process of potentially coming up with a Protect Marriage Amendment. This is Law SB 1250. It's called the Pennsylvania Marriage Protection Amendment Act. And it's going to be discussed in Congress, and it needs to be voted on twice in order to be able to brought to a public referendum. Redefining marriage means that all state-sanctioned activities will have to accommodate the new law. And what the legislature would like to do is they would like to redefine marriage. In Massachusetts, for example, where they did pass a redefinition of language and where they do allow same-sex marriages, all birth certificates now list parent A and parent B instead of mother and father.
Wow.
Also, starting in elementary school, children are being taught that two moms or two dads are the same as one mom and one dad. In New Jersey, due to the same-sex amendment that they passed, which they now call civil unions and leave the word sex out of it, mayors and judges are refusing to conduct civil union marriage ceremonies. They risk prosecution. And a Methodist church group over in New Jersey lost its tax-exempt status for refusing to allow a same-sex marriage ceremony to be held on its property because they own property near the beach.
Wow.
So you can see that we need to defend marriage and we need to defend the family, and that's the basic foundation. It's not just words. It's not just some political issue. It runs right to the heart and the foundation of our society and our culture. And we're falling apart, and if we don't stand up and defend ourselves and defend the language, then we're going to allow liberal elements to penetrate and infiltrate and destroy our families. And if our families are destroyed, our culture will be destroyed. And this has happened many, many, many times over thousands and thousands of years when you look back through history at the Roman Empire and the German Empire and the Ottoman Empire and all the major cultures, the Babylonians, the Mesopotamians, all the major ancient cultures that no longer exist, their values, they left us a legacy, but we can see and we can study them and we can see what happened and why they disappeared and why they were defeated in battles and overtaken by other nations and other cultures because they allowed their culture to disintegrate by allowing their families to disintegrate. Traditional marriage provides fundamental benefits to society, mainly the protection of family, and in particular, and God help us, because we're all going to answer for this, we need to protect our children. Research demonstrates that having one mother and one father joined in a stable marriage is the best possible situation for raising children. Certainly not every family fits this model, but redefining marriage and creating state-sanctioned motherless and fatherless families discounts everything we know to be true about marriage. In countries that allow same-sex marriage, marriage rates have declined, while out-of-wedlock births have skyrocketed. Once marriage ceases to be about binding mothers and fathers together for the good of their children, the desire to marry just disappears. So defending marriage as the union between one man and one woman is best for society, and it is worth protecting. If you want to speak to this law and you want to invite your legislators, your senators, and your representatives to support the Protect Marriage Amendment Law SB 1250 in the Pennsylvania House and Senate, then go to this website, www.pacatholic.org. Look up the contact information for your senators and your representatives and send them an email in just a few clicks and make your voice known, vote, go out there and support. But for the sake of our children, for the sake of our society, for the sake of our culture, for the sake of all that we hold sacred and deem holy, we need to protect marriage, and we need to protect the marriage amendment. If you've never, ever, ever voted in any other election or ever become politically involved in anything, this is the time. In the state of Pennsylvania, there are 27 states that already have amendments to their constitutions to define marriage as being between one man and one woman. It's time for Pennsylvania to follow suit and give the people of this commonwealth the opportunity to determine how they would like to define marriage. We already have a law that says that marriage is between one man and one woman, but in Iowa, a judge threw that law out and said that it was unconstitutional. So we need to go back and revisit this and pass a new amendment with stronger language that protects marriage as being between one man and one woman, and we need to protect our children.
So if you have any thoughts or comments, please give us a call, 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570. Give us a call. Let us hear what you have to say about this marriage topic.
Another family value that we need to look to, and again, this is more in the social, cultural, political arena than it is in the religious arena. But as I said earlier, there is no conflict between faith and reason. There is no conflict between faith and science. And if you ask most people in this country, they do believe in God. And so they do have some sort of a belief system and some sort of a faith. We need to support traditional education and parental involvement in that education. You're going to be looking at all of these candidates that are out there espousing all this money from your tax dollars to support all kinds of educational programs, but how many of them are emphasizing the involvement of parents getting involved in educating their children? John Paul II says in his Theology of the Body that the primary educators of children are the parents. Maybe parents need to be educated on how to educate their children, but we do not need our school systems taking over and usurping the position of parents to educate their children, especially in the area of education on sexuality and abstinence. That is primarily the job of the parents, and not the schools.
And also social issues. Like you said earlier, you know, two mommies and, you know, is the same as a family. Not in my family, not in my house. So we can't allow our schools to dictate to our children. You know, they can explain certain things, but it's my responsibility to explain that to my child. And again, 215-345-1570 if you have any comments.
Another family value that we need to support very strongly is the support for policies that encourage adoption over abortion. You've heard me speak on this program before that I am an adopted child, that Betty and I have an adopted child, that where there are five adopted children in my family that are my cousins, and that this is such a beautiful, loving, caring way for families to come together, especially for families, for people that have infertility issues that aren't able to achieve their own pregnancies and are willing to stand up and say no to the artificial reproductive technology that's going on, even at some of our Catholic local hospital campuses that are supporting IVF clinics and IVF practices. So we need to be able to support policies and encourage policies that support adoption over abortion. We also need to support for behavior identified as traditional or moral, such as, now listen to these words, respect, discipline, attentiveness, religious commitment. What's wrong with those words? We have no respect for each other. We have no respect for our bodies. We have no respect for law. We have no respect for culture. We have no respect for tradition. We have very little discipline. We have to have programs on TV. Betty and I watched the other night Super Nanny. We have to have programs on TV where a woman from England has to come in a car and sweep into a family with six children and teach those parents how to parent their children. Because they don't know how to parent their children. There's no discipline. There's no control. There's no organization. It's just amazing. And that has become one of the number one primetime shows on television. And it's a sad commentary on our society and our families. Although I welcome it because I think it's very positive and very wholesome. And it teaches parenting. And I think that those that need the teaching need it. But it demonstrates and reflects what's going on in the very basic fundamental hallways of our family lives. We need support for healthy choices with nutrition and medical screening and physical activity. And you all know that one of the main political issues is health care and the 44 million Americans that do not have access or do not have health care or health insurance, but they do have access to it. And so those things need to be addressed. We need to support abstinence education regarding risks associated with early sexual activity, such as teen pregnancies and sexually transmitted diseases. My opinion of this is that we who have the information need to provide the information to the parents, and then the parents need to take it and give it to their children at an appropriate age. Can it be taught within the context and framework of a spiritual and a religious education? Yes. When you're teaching the commandments and you're talking about the sixth commandment and the ninth commandment, you can talk about abstinence and you can talk about chastity and you can talk about sexually transmitted diseases, because Betty and I do that within the context of the eighth grade curriculum at St. Ignatius Parochial School in Yardley, and we've been doing that for the last 3 or 4 years. So, you know, we need to educate the children, yes, but we also need to educate the parents. And one of the things that Betty and I do insist on is that we meet with the parents first before we go talk to their children and say anything to their children. And then finally, as a family value, we need to support policies that protect children from obscenity and exploitation. And I will mention to you that coming up in the next several months, the month of April and May, there will be programs given by All the King's Men on the third Saturday of the month on pornography and home invasion and the internet and internet pornography and protecting our children and our fathers from access to this horribly addicting a violation of the dignity of personhood and the dignity of humankind. So we have presented some family values to you. Some of them impact on the faithful. Some of them impact on the political. Some of them impact on the social. Some of them impact on the religious. But I'd like to also point to you a resource that you can consider if you want to read about a summary teaching of just about all of these topics, the role of the Christian family in the modern world, Familiaris Consortio, an encyclical that was written by Pope John Paul II in 1981, the fourth year that he was the Pope, and will be ending with a prayer that is the conclusion of that encyclical that Betty will read for us at the end of the program. But this particular encyclical, as always, speaks to just about everything that you want to know about marriage and the family and sexuality and the validity and integrity and dignity of the human person and the importance of marriage and how to protect marriage and the basis of love and how marriage reflects the relationship between Christ and the church and why we are given and called to the vocation of marriage, all of which is extremely important. I'm now going to turn to some of the information that supports what we're talking about with family values that comes from the Catholic Standard and Time, and some issues that Betty will mention. One of the things, you know, Betty mentioned earlier that we are struggling with a high divorce rate in our culture, and there's a website that she will point you to that people can go to get an amazing amount of information and an amazing amount of support if they're struggling in their marriages and having difficulty.
This website is called maritalhealing.com, and that's www.maritalhealing.com. And this is a website that is provided by Dr. Richard Fitzgibbons and Peter, how do you spell say that?
Klaponis.
Klaponis. And they have an institute for marital healing, and it's helped hundreds of couples improve and enrich their relationships. And they also have a new one now, a new resource on their website that will evaluate your engagement checklist. And I think if you're an engaged couple or you know one, you can go on this website and evaluate your engagement and see if you are heading into marriage, and it will help you to understand each other and to find out if you're heading in the wrong, in the right path or the wrong path. But again, that website, www.maritalhealing.com, it's absolutely amazing, all kinds of little tests and questionnaires and things like that that you can fill out and share with one another. And it has amazing, valuable tips to help couples deal with common relationship issues and show their strengths and weaknesses.
And I've had personal communication with Rick Fitzgibbons over this, and he too also as a psychiatrist, and he has a psychiatric practice that focuses predominantly on marital relationships as well as same-sex attraction and anger. And he's an amazing guy. He's brilliant. He teaches and practices and lives faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. And he added this engaged section because people are not being adequately prepared for marriage, and I think that that's one of the reasons why we have such a high divorce rate and why we have such a breakdown of marriages. And then when the marriage disintegrates and breaks down, if there are children involved, then the children suffer, the family suffers, and as the family suffers, our society and our culture suffers. And if we could reverse that divorce rate and get it down to, say, 5%, although I would like it to be zero, but you have to be practical and reasonable. But if we could reduce the 50% divorce rate, or if you don't believe it's 50%, and some articles say it's 42%, whatever you want to believe, we need to get it down to single digits. And if we could get it down to 5%, then I think that we would be a lot better off as a culture. We'd be a lot better off as a society, and we'd be a lot better off as a country. One of the articles that I read in preparing for this program, and this ties in why we're here, is that the number one resource for decreasing the divorce rate is natural family planning.
Wow.
Because the divorce rate among people who use natural family planning is less than 4%. And so we have a whole culture and a whole society that are cohabiting, that are contracepting, that are aborting, that have no value for the dignity of life, therefore no value for the dignity of themselves or the dignity of others and their partners. They are not adequately prepared going into the marriage. There's an 83% divorce rate with people who remarry, a 75% divorce rate with people who cohabit. Most people get divorced within 5 years. Most people have children within that period of time. So we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 66% of the children in our country, and it varies depending on who you read and which study you read, but 66% of the children in our country are growing up without one or the other of their parents. Now, sometimes it can't be helped, and we're certainly not here, believe me. We know that there are divorced people who are listening to this radio program who are struggling, who are suffering, who are devoutful, loving mothers or fathers, faithful Catholics, receive Mass, go to Mass, receive the sacraments. We are not criticizing you. We're not putting you down. Things happen. But we're talking about trying to prevent them from happening. We're talking about trying to adequately prepare couples for marriage. We're talking about providing resources to couples that are engaged. And one of the number one topics, one of the number one articles that's in the Catholic Standard this week is that one of the tools that's offered as a value to keep love alive is honing your communication skills. And the reality is that successful marriage relationships don't just happen. They require an ongoing investment of time and effort. Well, it looks like we have a caller on the line. And we have, I believe, Greg calling from Yardley.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Greg. Welcome to our program. Thanks for calling.
I've been listening to your show, and I have a question for you guys. You know, you're talking about parents being the key instructor of your children, and I wanted to get your perspective on, you know, some of the most successful holy families that I've seen are homeschooled families, and I want to know, is it possible to still achieve that type of success sending your children to school and not having your children homeschooled? And I just want to get your thoughts on that, given you know, sending them out for 6 to 8 hours a day among other children who aren't raised with the same values, how you manage through that.
Well, I do think it is possible to be able to accomplish successfully being able to educate and raise your children in a secular or even parochial school system without homeschooling. And I think that that's reflected by the success that you see amongst many, many children who come from intact families with mothers and fathers who raise them with faith-based values and regularly pray, regularly take them to church. That is not a condemnation of the homeschooling families or programs, but I think that it is they get a much better base and a much stronger base if they are homeschooled, because there is less of an exposure to a lot of the other things that are out there. And so while the children are still very young and children, they are somewhat sheltered and protected, and they can be exposed as the parents choose to expose them. And I know many, many homeschooling families who homeschool their children who have gradually exposed their children at the level that they felt was appropriate to the secular world and allowed them to participate in sports and social events and things like that. I've also seen those children move from the homeschool environment into the secular environment in the high school and college level and become fully integrated and still maintain their basic family values and their homeschool values. With that being said, I'll also say that a strong family with a strong mother and father who take an interest in participating and providing their children with education, although it's a tougher battle because the temptations and the exposures are a lot more extant. If you have a child that's going to a public school or even sometimes a parochial school 6 or 8 hours a day, that's a third of their day that they're being exposed to outside influences, outside resources, and outside temptations that they wouldn't normally be exposed to. And so it just is a little bit of a tougher job, I think, from the standpoint of trying to protect your child and trying to exert the same kind of influence, but it can be done. And you just have to have a respect and a discipline and the right attitude, and you constantly have to be involved in your children's lives. And I think Betty has something to say about that.
And I feel strongly about that. You have to constantly know who your children are associating with and understand what's going on at their school. And if you don't approve of something, you need to speak about it at your school level, but and not be afraid or concerned about that, because that's your right as a parent. But yes, I think it can be done, and it is being done by many wonderful families. But it all starts in the home, and that's the most important thing.
And I'd like to say, although it sounds like it's a little bit of bragging, but the best example are the examples that are closest to your heart. And I think that Betty and I worked really hard at being involved in our children's lives and allowing them to be exposed to as many things as possible, but still riding, roughshod over them as far as the discipline. And I think that we have two wonderfully mature, intelligent, intact adult human beings who are married with families, who are contributing valuably to society and to their wives and to their children. And I can say that we raised them in the late 80s and early 90s, and they were exposed to everything like Lollapalooza concerts and ska music and all kinds of other things, and somehow managed to survive and came out of it, having these values intact, but feeling like they weren't completely deprived. So I think it can be done.
And we don't live in a perfect world. Our children will make mistakes, and we just have to help them and pick them up from it. Because everything we do, if we make a mistake, we learn from it. Because nothing's perfect.
And that's that goes on both sides. The parents learn parenting as their children grows, and the children learn from the parents. And so that's the beauty of the family. They teach each other and they support one another. So thanks for calling, Greg. I hope that answered your question. Take care and have a good weekend. So that was a great question that had to do with the intact family and the parents' responsibility of education. We have a few minutes left to go in our program here. I'd like to point out that there are some resources. Catholic Online, www.catholic.org, is an excellent website to go to. The Family Life Center International, Faith in the Family, gives you safe media, movies, TV, internet, decent films, a movie guide that you can go to for parents as a resource for education, as well as, believe it or not, and I'm not saying this in any kind of diminishing way, the Catholic Standard and Times, our Catholic newspaper here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, is an excellent document, along with other Catholic resources, publications, the National Catholic Register. And here we're coming to you live from Holy Spirit Radio, WYSP 1570 AM in Doylestown in Bucks County, right outside Philadelphia. We have Catholic Radio. And we have Catholic television. So we do have Catholic resources, and there is a value to the principles and the traditions that the Catholic Church teaches. So we hope that you access these resources. We hope that you come to our PNFPN conference on marriage prep on March the 1st. And we hope that you keep marriage and the family in prayer, and we keep them in the uppermost of your mind when you're considering voting and looking at the candidates who are going to lead our country for the next 4 years. And we'll have Betty close with a prayer from the encyclical that was written on Familiaris Consortio from John Paul II.
I entrust each family to him, to Mary, and to Joseph. To their hands and their hearts I offer this exhortation. May it be they who present it to you, venerable brothers and beloved sons and daughters, and may it be they who open your hearts to the light that the gospel shed on every family. I assure you of all my constant prayers, and I cordially impart the apostolic blessing to each and every one of you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks for tuning in, and join us the third Friday of next month when we'll be back to you again with NFP for Life. Take care and God bless.